you got cooking? How about cooking something up with me?
Let's stir it up, boys.
Welcome to the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. A weekly excursion into the fine art of preparing the world's most popular recipes under an open sky and an open flame. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the old grill sergeant, Randy Hayes.
Let's start out by saying, here's hoping last week's show gave you some good ideas on how to make the food better than the football on Super Bowl Sunday. Actually, I shouldn't even say it that way because I really didn't think football was bad at all. In fact, I thought the game was downright fascinating. Yeah, I know most people think it's boring if they don't score 60 or 70 points altogether. You know, truth be told, most folks think the more points, the better. And the NFL's done everything within its power to make that happen. I mean, Roger Goodell is smart enough to know that. So he's rewritten all the rules and given the offense as many advantages as he can, you know, to satisfy the fans. Well, the casual fans, anyway. But me, I'm an old-school football guy. I love defense. I think a sack or a fumble recovery or an interception, I think that's just as exciting as a touchdown. So I love defense. And boy, that's what Super Bowl 53 was all about, wasn't it? Defense. It was a great game to me. I was rooting for Wade Phillips and the Rams. But you just have to admire the masterful job that Bill Belichick did, right? He controlled the boy coach in that high-flying offense, right? So I should correct myself. The football wasn't bad. In fact, I thought it was really good. But if I'm being really honest, then it was the food that was really good. And this is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, after all. I mean by that, the food was especially good at the Super Bowl watching party that my son and daughter-in-law threw at their house. We had lots of great snacks through the first half, and then they served chicken fajitas at halftime. Now, if you heard last week's show, you'll probably remember I told you then. This was leftover chicken fajita meat from my kids' New Year's Eve party. My son, Derek, spent several hours grilling up a mountain of beef and chicken fajita meat, and they froze the leftovers. Then my brilliant daughter-in-law learned a trick from our favorite Mexican food restaurant, Lopez in Stafford. They pour melted butter across the top of the fajita meat to keep it moist. Works like a charm. She poured the melted butter over the chicken fajitas and then warmed them up in the oven for about a half an hour. They were juicy and tender all over again. Plus, our CFO and chief studio engineer here at Edgewater Studios, John Shelton, he's been on the show a couple of times, he brought over some of his crock-pot pork ribs. Wow, I can't believe I got it right. Say that five times real fast. Crockpot pork ribs. They were not only mouth-watering, obviously they're mouth-muddling. And by the time the second half kickoff rolled around, I was more stuffed than the Rams' running attack. Oh, come on. Don't groan at me. That was a good line, and you know it. I just couldn't resist. Then we had my wife's brownies for dessert. Well, for my grandson Liam, they were actually the main course. And we were all fat and full. So the food and the football were fantastic for my family. But then there were also the TV commercials. Yeah, sorry, I ran out of Fs. Is there an F word for commercial? No, forget I asked that. You know, there are a lot of people who don't necessarily care about football, like my wife. And people like that enjoy the commercials more than the game. And you got to admit, they did come up with some really good ones this year, didn't they? We'll talk more about this in the last segment of the show today with my old Hudson and Harrigan radio partner, Fred Olson. He and I spent a lot of Monday mornings on the air talking about Super Bowl commercials, so we'll trade notes again today, kind of like we did back then. But I had a few that I thought were noteworthy and a couple that kind of made me scratch my head. Yeah, my head's really easy to find. It's the only major appendage on my body with no hair on it. Anyway, I must admit, I didn't know what to think of that Andy Warhol Burger King commercial. Did you see that one? My son's first reaction was, huh? Okay. He knows who Andy Warhol is, but even I thought, that's just weird. Actually, my first question was that really Andy Warhol? Or was that just an actor made up to look like Andy Warhol? So you know me, Google is your friend. In a word, yes, that really was Andy Warhol, who's been dead for like, I don't know, 30 years now. And the film clip was lifted from an art film made in 1982 called 66 Scenes from America. And just for the record, it was weird then and it's still weird now as far as I'm concerned. But I will admit one thing, I at least knew the product when the commercial was over, Burger King. And that's more than I can say for some of the spots CBS ran that night. So in that way, at least it was effective. Still weird, but effective. I also didn't quite get the Mr. Peanut commercial. But the Charlie Sheen cameo was a nice touch, don't you think? And there were several others that just went right over this old bald head of mine. But we were all amazed at how many robots appeared in the spots. Sprint, Michelob Ultra. Weren't there a couple of more? I can't remember. Oh, and one more. The Pepsi spot that everybody was so excited about with Steve Carell and Cardi B? Nah, sorry. I guess I'm still just a Coca-Cola guy at heart. But let's not spend all our time on the bad spots. There were some really good ones, too. If you're more like me, and less like my wife, then you were actually watching for the football game, and that meant you had to love that commercial they called NFL Gala. Now, this was the one where virtually every living NFL Hall of Fame player got into a pickup game at a formal dinner where a football fell off the top of a huge cake. Remember that one? Yeah, it was great. But be honest now. Be honest. Can you name the product it was advertising? It was, wait for it, here it comes, the NFL. Yeah, it was just celebrating the NFL's 100th season. It was really good, if you were a football fan. And another spot I liked was the Pringles spot that featured the Alexa device that just had too much information about stacking Pringles. So the guy just said, ooh, play Funky Town. Now that was funny. And if you're a dog lover, and I am, then you really enjoyed the Amazon Harrison Ford spot. You know, where he kept saying, I'm not paying for any more dog food. If you haven't seen it, look it up online. It's great. Then the elevator commercial starring Jason Bateman. That had the best line of the night. The lady hosting the vegan dinner party said, we're having beetloaf. Even my real-life vegan daughter-in-law laughed so hard we couldn't even hear the rest of the spot. Beetloaf. Boy, that's got to be the exact opposite of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show, doesn't it? Which brings us right back around to food. Only we're going to talk about good food. Certainly not beetloaf. Not for one of the most important meals of the year, because in 5 days, it's Valentine's Day. And if that doesn't call for a great meal, then I don't know what does. I mean, what could possibly be more important than a romantic dinner with the one you love? In fact, did you know that Valentine's Day was originally called the Feast of St. Valentine? Yeah. Google is your friend. According to historians, the original St. Valentine was a martyr in prison. You know, come to think of it, that fits right into the concept of romantic love in some really twisted ways, doesn't it? Sorry, I just couldn't resist. But seriously, the original St. Valentine was in prison for, of all things, performing wedding ceremonies for soldiers who were forbidden by law to marry, and for ministering to Christians who were being persecuted by the Roman Empire. One story has it that he restored sight to the blind daughter of the judge who sentenced him to death, and right before he was executed, he wrote the girl a letter, which he signed, Your Valentine, as a farewell. Thus, supposedly, was born the tradition of sending a valentine to someone you love. Then the author Geoffrey Chaucer is the one who's credited with actually starting the romantic love angle on Valentine's Day. That was sometime in the 18th century. But since it all started out as a feast, what better topic could we have on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show than preparing a romantic home-cooked meal for your valentine? So, we've got two young chefs who just happen to be getting married soon, and yes, to each other, and they're going to give us some good ideas on how to come up with a special meal for that special someone.
It's a very special edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
Sorry, I thought I was one of those network TV announcers there for a minute. So sit back, relax, pour yourself another cup of coffee. We've got a real feast plan to make your Valentine's Day's sweetheart throb. Whew, that was a mouthful. I'm just glad it's not beetloaf.
If your barbecue's gone up in smoke and your cooking reputation is at stake, stick around. The Old Grill Sergeant will be right back with more ideas and advice to make your next cookout sizzle.
Boyd's One Stop. The name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's. Conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dyke Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dyke Road at the base of the Texas City Dyke.
Does the cell phone connectivity in your office stink? Do you routinely miss calls? Lots of buildings have dead zones, and that means garbled or dropped calls, but not anymore. Texas Cell Phone Boosters provides FCC-approved cell phone booster systems that can make dead zones a thing of the past. These are not rinky-dink systems from big box stores. These are commercial-grade booster systems that cover tens of thousands of square feet. And Texas Cell Phone Boosters will specifically engineer and install a system in your office or warehouse. If you drive or regularly work in remote locations, Texas Cell Phone Boosters can help you boost a weak signal from a tower a long way off. So don't miss calls from potential customers any longer. Call the pros at Texas Cell Phone Boosters, 832-551-1000. That's 832-551-1000. Or go to texascellphoneboosters.com.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on-site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782. Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936.
Life is simple. Eat, sleep, grill. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dyke. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're proud to welcome back a familiar voice to the show, Mike Castillo of Callisto Culinary. Good to talk to you again, Mike.
Thanks for having me back.
You bet. It's a joy. We featured Mike back in the early fall, and many of our listeners may have missed your background. So tell us, where were you born, reared, and educated?
So I was born in Houston, Texas, born and raised. I started working in Country Club, Houston Country Club there for about 8 years, and then moved over to the restaurant side of things and worked at Uti, Japanese-inspired restaurant. They started in Austin. Now they're kind of starting to take over the world. They're in Denver and Dallas, another one in Austin. You know, they're everywhere. So I eventually moved to Austin to work for them at the original location, and I was there for about 6 years, maybe 5 or 6 years, and moved to Portland for a little bit, and now I'm back here. Doing something out in Hallettsville, Texas. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, but we have the ability to go to either big city when we need things, and we travel. We do catering and many other things. So that's why we didn't limit ourselves to calling ourselves a catering company. We Callisto Culinary, so we do catering, cooking classes, demos, you know, pretty much anything. So anything in the realm of the culinary world.
Well, let's back up just a little bit, Mike. What piqued your interest in the food and beverage industry to begin with? As a child, did you have an early mentor in the kitchen, like a parent, maybe a grandparent?
Yeah, I wish I could say I did. My grandmother cooked a lot when I was little and for the whole family. And my mother always cooked too. Nothing crazy or, you know, too fancy. But I never really paid attention to it. And, you know, when I got in high school, they pretty much made me pick a career path. And this was the one that didn't require school after high school. So I ran with it.
So you got no formal training as a chef, is that right?
No formal training. I thought about culinary school for a little while, but decided against it. And here I am. It worked out pretty well.
But you started working in kitchens when you were 16. Tell us about that experience.
Yeah, it was interesting because I was still in school full-time, obviously, in high school. So it made it a little bit difficult, kind of being the last one to the restaurant because I was leaving from school, you know, and couldn't get there early every day. So it made it a little difficult, but it worked out well.
Did you immediately know that that was what you wanted to do for the rest of your life?
No, I mean, it was definitely probably the easiest of options considering the place I worked at was a great spot that I knew would help me and my career growth. So I stayed there for a while and it kind of just worked out and I was happy doing it. So I didn't have a problem sticking to it.
So you mentioned you worked early on at the Houston Country Club, but it also said in your bio that you competed in several different chef competitions. What were their names? What did they entail? Did you win any of them?
Yeah, unfortunately, I was pretty good at that, and that's kind of kept me to it. We did a lot of competitions when I was still in high school and then after that. So there's an organization called the American Culinary Federation. It's a great organization because in addition to competitions, you can also get certified as a chef, which doesn't always matter with restaurants, but in a lot of places it does. And they helped me further my career through competition. It won quite a few on a regional and national level, and that was a good networking platform for me. So it worked out to where I got to have fun learning and compete at the same time. So it was great.
And you mentioned Uchi and moving to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of random.
Yeah.
What took you to Portland, Oregon anyway?
It was, you know, I was at Houston Country Club for 8 years and Uchi for almost 6 years. And I really enjoyed staying at one place for a long time. And when I left the country club, I was really burnt out and tired of it. And, you know, it was just wore down on me. When I left Uchi, I still loved working there. It was still a great place to work. And I, you know, I'll never say anything bad about it. It was an incredible experience. I love it. And I'd go back if I lived in a big city, but I'm out here now. Moving to Portland was a decision Emily and I made. She got a job opportunity.
Okay, hold on right there, Mike. Hold on.
Yeah.
Who's Emily? The audience doesn't know who Emily is.
Oh, you're right. You're right. She is my partner in life and in business. She's my fiance. We're getting married on March 23rd.
Congrats.
She was a pastry chef at Uchi when I was a chef de cuisine. We built a great friendship while we were there. And then you work with somebody so close for so long, and it just kind of just evolves. And as soon as we decided we weren't going to work there anymore, it kind of took the next step and became something more, and that's where we're at now.
So she went to Portland and you followed her, is that right?
That's correct.
So now you have Callisto Culinary together. Tell us about that.
So Callisto Culinary, as I said, it's more than a catering company. You know, our experience and our background gives us the freedom to do a lot more than just catering, especially out here. We're in the country, so beer options are barbecue, Mexican food, fast food, and more Mexican food. So our background gives us the ability to kind of cater to the needs of people that don't want that. So a lot of weddings, small parties, you know, things like that, that people want something different. There's a lot of, you know, fundraisers that go on out here that need different food and unique food experiences to go with them. So we've kind of taken on that, and it's worked out well. And we're actually building our own commercial kitchen space on the ranch that we're living at. And it's going to be a big operation. We'll be able to do pop-up dinners, dinner series with chefs, hopefully from Austin and Houston. So there's a lot going on out here.
So how do people get in contact with you to hire out your services?
There's a couple of ways. We're still working on our website, but you can find us on Instagram or Facebook at CallistoTX, or you can call either one of us.
Well, give us that phone number, Mike.
My phone number is going to be 512-401-7690. And from there, we can just go on and set up, you know, meeting in person, phone conversations, emails, and go from there.
Now, today's installment of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show is a preview of Valentine's Day. It's only 5 days away. So let's just lay out an entire meal as you might do it, Mike, and start with the soup or the salad. What do you suggest?
Well, so first of all, we're actually hosting a Valentine's dinner, which is going to be a 5-course, you know, all-out experience. But if you want to do something more romantic, you know, stay away from the restaurants and have fun cooking at home, even if you're not the best cook. Valentine's Day is more about the experience with your loved one, and the food shouldn't be, you know, if you can't cook, don't worry about it. Just have fun with it and enjoy your meal. So I would say your soup or salad, whatever you want to do, make it something simple and fast, something that you don't have to work a lot to put it together in the moment. Maybe prep ahead, make something the day before or the morning of. That way, when it comes to dinner time, you can focus on conversation with your loved one and not putting the final touches on a salad or a soup.
Okay, now, main course. What's a good entree?
Main course, a good entree would be something light. You know, you want to be able to have a couple of courses and not be stuffed to the point where you don't want to just go straight to bed afterwards. So entree, I'd stick with something light. If you like seafood is great because, you know, you can have a decent portion of it and get full and not be over full. So, you know, fish, shrimp, something like that. I'd probably avoid heavier things like giant bowls of pasta or things like that. But, you know, vegetables are always great. Very filling, very light at the same time. So I think that'd be the way to go. A nice piece of fish with some sauteed veggies, whatever you can find at the market, whatever's in season. That'd be great.
And what about side dishes? What goes along with that fish?
I would say stay away from the heavier stuff, rice, potatoes, pasta for a Valentine's meal. You want to keep it light. So steamed vegetables, grilled vegetables are always fun. Get you outside for a little bit. You can do it with your partner too. Grill the vegetables together. That's always a really good option. So, you know, it's always hard to come up with a menu ahead of time, more than days ahead of time, because we really try to focus on seasonal ingredients. So the best thing to do is go to a farmer's market together, go to the grocery store together and see what they have that looks really good. If they have, you know, asparagus that looks really good, buy that and grill that up. You know, if they have mushrooms that look really good, roast those together, saute them. It really just depends on what's available.
And let's talk about the right kind of bread to go along with that. Any good ideas?
You know, bread is one of those things that if you can make it at home, go for it. But 99 out of 100 people can't make fresh bread at home. I can't do it myself. Emily does that. So when it comes to bread, I would say just go to like a really good artisanal market or a baker or a bakery in your town and find whatever they have that's the best. Ask the baker if they're available, what their favorite is, because that's going to be the best what they have. And it really, you could pair it with your meal, but honestly, everyone loves bread and most bread is good. So get what they have and enjoy it that way.
Now, you just mentioned a moment ago that your fiance and your business partner, Emily Davis, is really more of the pastry chef between the two of you. So we're going to take a short break and then we're going to tap into Emily's knowledge for some sweet to go with that savory you just described for us. Thanks for your ideas, Mike, and happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you for having me.
Stay patient. Dinner will be ready right after the smoke alarm goes off. Randy will be right back with more smoke and hot tips for you and your old flame right after this short break.
Creekstone Outdoor Living. The name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po' boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all, 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike. Hi friends, Randy Hames to tell you about Cellular and Satellite. Cellular and Satellite are specialists in wireless data plans for businesses. Because they buy in large quantities, Cellular and Satellite can give you a data plan on the same provider you're using today, but at a lower cost. Cellular and Satellite can also combine the two largest wireless providers into a single data plan. Two carriers with better coverage, but only one invoice to pay. If your workforce is international, Cellular and Satellite offers a global data SIM with fixed pricing in over 200 countries. You'll never have to pay international roaming charges again with Cellular and Satellite. And they can handle all your wireless data needs, whether you need 10 or 10,000 data SIMs. So if you're an IT professional, mobility manager, or business owner, save money and increase your network availability by letting Cellular and Satellite simplify your wireless life. Call Cellular and Satellite today, 832-551-1000, or go to cellularandsatellite.com. Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Stand back. We've got our grill on. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the grill father, Randy Hames.
We're back now with the better half of the Callisto Culinary family. It's Emily Davis. Welcome to the show for the first time, Emily.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. Those who missed our earlier segment with Mike Castillo of Callisto Culinary, he and Emily not only collaborate in the kitchen, but they're also engaged to be married. So what's the date, Emily?
We are getting married on March 23rd, right on the property. As Mike said, we're building a kitchen, and our wedding is going to be the first event in the building that we're building. So
wow.
We're trying to get it finished and get it ready to go.
Well, I'm a fully ordained and licensed minister. If you need somebody to officiate the ceremony, I can help with that.
We're actually having my stepdad got ordained online to marry us. So.
How very cool.
It'll be very cool. So
yeah, but somehow I don't think you need any help creating the menu for the reception dinner, do you?
No, we don't. We're actually catering our own dinner as well. So we're going to prepare it ahead of time and have a friend execute it the day of for us. So,
well, just out of interest, I've always wanted to ask a professional caterer what they would choose to cater their own event. So what are you going to be serving?
Typically, you know, there's like a chicken, a fish. We're kind of sticking that route, but doing some kind of interesting twists on them. We're going to do shrimp and grits. I think we're doing some chicken enchiladas. We'll have some fun sides. Michael makes a really good, made it for our previous wedding, a Shiner Bock mac and cheese. So we're going to do that because I know my family will love that. We're going to have some fun hors d'oeuvres. And I am a pastry chef, but I'm not making my own cake, but I will be making cookies. So.
I can't believe you're not making your own cake.
I know. I found a local baker, and her cakes look beautiful. And I was like, I don't want that stress on the wedding day, but it'll be fun. So,
well, let's get started by having you tell us, where were you born and grew up?
Sure. Well, I was born in Michigan. My mom was born and raised in Houston, and my dad is from Michigan. So my time growing up was spent divided kind of between the two. We moved around a lot growing up, but the constant was coming to the ranch that we're living on now, because it's been in my mom's family for over 100 years.
Wow.
So, but I primarily lived in Michigan when I was young, went to high school in Michigan, went to college in Michigan, and then came to Texas about 3 or 4 years ago to be closer to my mom and kind of see the Austin food scene.
So did you have a childhood mentor in the kitchen, like a parent or a grandparent?
Surprisingly, none of my grandmothers baked so much. I kind of just enjoyed doing it and had a sweet tooth, so I liked to kind of play around in the kitchen.
Well, when did you first realize you had a passion for baking?
I kind of developed my passion for it, I guess, in high school. I didn't really think I would make a career out of it. It was just something I did for fun. And I started working in restaurants as a hostess and busser when I was about 14. And I would always bake and bring treats in for the servers and the cooks and all that. And went to college, and I was going to do architecture, actually.
Mm.
And then went to culinary school after that.
So how did culinary school go? Did that pique your interest in pastry over savory?
I've always kind of been more interested in pastry. I enjoy cooking savory food as well, but I am very much math and science oriented, and I was drawn to that side of pastry because it is much more technical and everything has to be perfect, and it's a challenge, and I like trying to perfect techniques and stuff like that. It's just like, it's an interesting challenge, and you get to be very artistic, so that's kind of why I was drawn to that. I love cooking savory too, but the pastry part was kind of more interesting to me just because it is more technical and you can be very artistic with it. So, yeah, I didn't ever really think I'd make a career out of it, but once I started doing it professionally, it just, you know, snowballed.
Yeah, I have a good friend, Dave Fremont of Boyd's One Stop at the base of the Texas City Dike, and he says, grilling's for guys, bacon is rocket science. Women knew that. So you eventually met Mike, and you guys worked together before you actually fell in love. Was that at Uchi?
Yes, we did. We worked together for a few years, and then we worked very closely together and worked very well together, and it just progressed from there. So
talk about this move to Portland, Oregon. When Michael followed you across several state lines,
yes.
Was that when you knew that the relationship was the real thing?
Absolutely. I knew if someone was willing to do that with me, they were you know, going to be around for the long haul. So
when did you and Mike come back to Texas and why?
We came back almost a year ago now. We came back to the beginning of March last year, and we didn't stay in Portland for very long. It just wasn't necessarily the right fit. It was a great experience in the city. I mean, Portland is beautiful, and just the Pacific Northwest in general. It just wasn't the right fit, and we came back to be able to do some things on my family property and be around with my family. And we knew we wanted to eventually have our own business, whether it was a restaurant or, you know, whatever we were going to do. But in the big cities, it's a little more challenging because it takes so much money and, you know, finding staff and all that. And we decided to stay out in the country to be close to my family. And, you know, we're doing the event space with catering and stuff to give us the flexibility to kind of do whatever food we want to do and not necessarily be tied to one set schedule.
And thus was born Callisto Culinary.
Yeah.
But I understand that you guys have also teamed up with Mayek Vineyard and Winery.
Yes.
Did I say that name right?
Yes. They're a local winery out here in Schulenburg, and they're on some family property. It's, you know, a lot of the families out here are Czech and German, so the names are really hard to pronounce, but the Mayeks have been very good to us, and we do a lot of brunches and dinners with them, and it's been a really great partnership.
Now, before we run out of time, let's turn our attention to the subject matter for today's edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
Sure.
It's a romantic dinner for your Valentine.
Yes.
And in the previous segment, your beloved Mike gave us his idea for the savory side of the meal, which was fish and fresh vegetables. He suggested we stay away from heavy things like pasta and potatoes and rice.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some ideas for a dessert? You're the pastry chef. You tell us. What good dessert goes along with that kind of romantic meal?
Well, I think it's a little challenging to bake small portions. So something like creme brulee would be really easy to make for two people, and it's always, you know, a kind of impressive dessert to make when done properly, and really delicious. And you could pair it with some fresh fruit. And, you know, a lot of the Valentine's desserts are cherries or strawberry and chocolate. You can do chocolate covered strawberries, and you can decorate them with your partner. Things like that you can do together, I thought would be kind of fun. So like ice cream sundaes, you could build stuff together and find fun toppings and fruit and stuff like that.
So you mentioned creme brulee.
Yes.
You want to give us a quick recipe for that? It has to be really quick, though.
So creme brulee is mostly just cream, a couple egg yolks, some sugar and vanilla, and you can find a quick ratio on the internet. It's a very simple dessert, but you bake it in a hot water bath, and it makes it a nice custardy, creamy dessert, and then just sprinkle some sugar on top and torch it. You can find a torch at any hardware store.
And you mentioned a couple of other things there. Which one would you choose, the ice cream or the other?
I would, for myself, I'd do probably creme brulee, but I mean, anything that's fun to make together. I thought maybe making some little mini pies together would be kind of fun. You know, making pie dough together and making little apple pies or pecan pies or something like that. Just anything you can kind of do together, or just dip things in chocolate, you know, stuff like that. If you want to keep it real simple.
Yeah, you can't go wrong dipping things in chocolate, can you?
Oh, yeah, anything.
We have been proud to host Mike Castillo and this, his better half, his fiance and business partner, Emily Davis. They are not only paired up in business with Callisto Culinary, but they're also going to soon be paired up in matrimony as well. So the best of luck to both of you.
Thank you.
And many thanks for all your helpful tips on the perfect romantic dinner for our Valentine, Emily.
Thank you so much for having us.
Life is short. Grill while you can. Randy will be right back with more food and fun after this break.
Randy Hames here, proud to introduce you to Belleville Meat Market. Just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. My good friends Jared and Marcus Poffenberger operate Belleville Meat Market, an old-fashioned butcher shop with superior products and great customer service. There's always a butcher on site at Belleville Meat Market, and their new processing plant is right next door. Hunters, a computer tracking system will follow your venison, wild hog, or exotics through every step of the process to ensure you get your meat your way. At Belleville Meat Market, you can pick and choose the cuts of beef, pork, or chicken you want, and they feature 28 flavors of pecan smoked sausage. Plus, Belleville Meat Market only uses lean pork in their sausage, so you get more meat and less fat. Tailgaters, drop by on your way to the game and get just what you need to feed your crew. Belleville Meat Market, just 15 minutes south of Hempstead and 15 minutes north of Sealy on Highway 36 in Belleville. Visit BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call 979-865-5782.
Hi, it's Randy Hames again. Everybody needs a new video, or a new website, or help in managing their social media. And my company, Edgewater Multimedia, can help. We help small businesses navigate the intimidating world of cyber advertising. You've got a business to run, and you don't have time to build and maintain your own website all by yourself, and you certainly don't have time to generate content for it. And when's the last time you had an extra hour or two to post something on your company's Facebook or Twitter accounts? Like never, right? Well, at Edgewater Multimedia, that's what we do. We have a web designer on staff who has built some of the most eye-catching websites you've ever seen. And Edgewater features a photographer and videographer who can capture beautiful images to enhance the content on your website, not to mention social media. We can even manage your Facebook and Twitter accounts for you. Call us today, 832-500-4272, or see our website, edgewatermultimedia.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the name says it all. If you like being outdoors in your own space, you'll love Creekstone Outdoor Living. Located on the north side of Houston, Creekstone Outdoor Living has grills, lighting, appliances, pizza ovens, furniture, and even a design studio at 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60 in Spring, Texas, just off the Grand Parkway. If you love your backyard, Creekstone Outdoor Living has everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the Backyard Paradise Specialists. They also carry the quality brands you love, like Yeti, RCX, Lynx, Fire Magic, Weber, American Muscle Grill, The Big Green Egg, Coppersmith, and many more. Just looking for some storage for the game or fishing? No problem. The Yeti Tundra Coolers are perfect for the job and come in sizes weighing up to 90 pounds. And if you're looking for some great design ideas, inspiration, or even some of their work, visit their website at www.creekstoneoutdoors.com. Creekstone Outdoor Living, the Backyard Paradise Specialists, 3555 Rayford Road, Suite 60, Spring, Texas, 713-389-5936. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. If you like seafood, you'll love Boyd's, conveniently located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Boyd's One Stop has bait, tackle, fresh seafood, and even a restaurant, all at 227 Dike Road. If you fish Galveston Bay, Boyd's is the one and only stop for everything you need. There's a reason why they're called the live shrimp capital of Texas. But they've also got lots of finger mullet, croaker, plus fresh dead shrimp, shad, and squid. Plus, Boyd's has tackle galore, ice and ice chests, and cold drinks and snacks. Just need fresh fish for a family seafood feast? The freshest seafood, like table shrimp, live blue crab, and crawfish when in season, is in stock and ready for you at Boyd's. And if you're hungry right now, check out Boyd's Cajun Grill Express right next door, with a wide variety of breakfast, lunch, and dinner items like crawfish, oyster po'boys, and fried seafood platters. Boyd's One Stop, the name says it all. 227 Dike Road at the base of the Texas City Dike.
May the forks be with you. This is the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Boyd's One Stop is located at the base of the Texas City Dike. Now, here's the guy who turns all the grills on, Randy Hames.
Here he is, the man with the plan, Fred Olson, my on-air buddy from the Hudson and Harrigan Show. Good to talk to you, my brother.
I have a plan. Okay.
Yeah, I guess the man with the plan's a little deceiving because on the H&H show, we were always just kind of, you always like to call it winging it.
Well, the great wing, but you know, we always knew where we were going.
Did we?
9 a.m. We were going to 9 a.m. But, you know, we just had fun. We had conversations, and then things sprang from that. You know what? It was kind of interesting. it would be nice to go, wow, we got to come up with something in 20 seconds. Okay, boom. and not that we weren't prepared, but if something, you know, the world changes, yep. if you have a game plan like, you know, like the Rams had, and then the world changes everything, like it would on our show, something would happen, and we'd have to shift gears and we'd stay fluid and do it. That was just fun.
Just two goofy guys playing around on the radio.
Kind of it, wasn't it?
Well, so long as we're on the subject of media, let's discuss some of the elements of the Super Bowl broadcast this past weekend. The first thought that came to my mind was Tony Romo was not quite the play-calling savant he's been in recent weeks, was he?
Well, apparently, that, you know, we had like 17 people in the living room, so I didn't hang on every word because you could turn it up so loud, then you go to commercial, which were louder, and then we're all going, where's the volume control? So I didn't hear everything he did, but during the season, he's been pretty amazing.
Yes.
65% of the time when he calls something, that's exactly who it goes to. But see, then the pressure is on, well, now what's he going to do this time? And mm-hmm. once they call attention to it, maybe your magic powers disappear. I don't know.
Aha! He got it wrong!
He's still darn good.
Oh, he is. And as much as I dislike the Cowboys, I have to admit that I really like Tony Romo as a color analyst.
Oh, yeah.
But be careful what you wish for. You just might get it. You know, when people start calling you a genius and then you've got to prove it on the biggest stage of all, sometimes you fall a little flat. I think that's kind of what happened to him.
You know, he's got a grace about him and a charm, so he'll probably go, well, yeah. He said, you guys call me the genius. I didn't.
And there's another aspect of the Super Bowl telecast that we need to discuss. We used to do this all the time on the Hudson and Harrigan show. Every Monday we'd talk about the commercials, the Super Bowl commercials. Everybody loves to talk about them. First of all, do you know how much a 30-second commercial cost in the Super Bowl this year?
I know. How much this year?
$5 million.
Oh, man.
Isn't that outrageous?
And you know the one that stood out to me was... It was a new, I guess, frozen food product, Devour Foods. Did you catch that?
Yes, I saw it, but it did not make that big an impact on me.
Here's what happened. Everybody in the room goes, Devour Food? What is that? And somebody said, well, there's $2 million just wasted. And I thought, no, it's going to be more than that. But now you say $5 million. I go, They put all their money into one commercial.
Well, let me tell you about that. Of course, I own a multimedia company now, Edgewater Studios,
right.
And we do digital marketing. And I can tell you right now, the advertisers are doubling down on those commercials. It's not just the over-the-air usage of the commercials. It's putting them on YouTube. And they have had millions of hits on those commercials, even in advance of the Super Bowl, the ones they released before the game, not to mention the ones that were actually on the broadcast.
I mean, and it's brilliant, really, because I thought, these are the top 30 commercials already released. I went,
Yep.
So now that you say that that's all planned out, and they also paid to have it distributed like that to millions of hits, it's a brilliant marketing.
Well, you mentioned the Devour commercial. I think the Game of Thrones with the Bud Light product placement tie-in was my favorite. That was really good.
I saw it from a distance. I was kind of making sure everybody had stuff because we had a house full of people. So I didn't see every play, even though I did tape it in case, you know, something good actually happened and I could watch it later. But, I was kind of in motion. Beth was in the kitchen doing a lot of cooking, and we were making sure things were... So I wasn't glued to the game for the whole thing, so I didn't see all the commercials. So everybody was interested in halftime, and we had, you know, every age group here. So, and I thought Maroon 5 was fine. Nobody, did they do anything about kneeling? They were supposed to do something in protest. Did they do anything like that?
I didn't notice because I didn't watch the halftime show at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I like Maroon 5. I think Adam Levine is really, he's very talented. But it was fun, the big spectacle, and they pulled it off, And it reminds me when the Super Bowl was in Houston and Bev and I were out of the country and that was a Janet Jackson malfunction, right?
Yep.
And we were in South America at the time and we hadn't watched TV that whole week, and I turned it on and I saw that. I said, I think it's some South American variety show. And I turned it off. A woman in leather, whatever it was. And I didn't even know until we got back the Janet Jackson thing happened. Oh, man.
Well, I've had a lot of favorite commercials. One of my favorites was the T-Mobile commercial with the screenshots of funny texts. Did you see that?
No.
Well, one of them that I liked was a father texting his daughter with recipe for chicken parmesan. And she responded right back and said, Dad, this is not Google. You texted me. And he texts right back and says, sorry. Then he texts her again immediately with the same thing, recipe for chicken parmesan. So she just texts him back with the Google recipe for chicken parmesan.
Oh, yeah. They're so clever. There was one, actually, it was a Jack Daniels commercial that was at the beginning that was really well done. I thought, when you don't know where it's going, it catches your attention. I thought, what are they doing? And then that was really very clever, very well done.
Well, you mentioned that Bev was spending a lot of time in the kitchen preparing food. So let's talk about that for a few minutes. We just got through talking to Mike Castillo and Emily Davis of Callisto Culinary. And they told me that they were at your house for the Super Bowl watching party. Is that right?
They were here and they had done a brunch for a large group of people. And then they came over afterwards and they went, oh, something we don't have to cook. We had, I think Bev did a great job and people brought some things. We tend to, like, when you entertain, people are going to bring something, but we don't say, I need this or this or this, because you want your guests to come in and just enjoy coming in and just enjoying the game. So Bev prepped for a couple days before and she kept it moving and she did chicken skewers. She did this cool wonton thing where you take a wonton, you put it in muffin pans, you lay it in there, and then you put the chili meat in there and all your spices, and then you bake it quickly till the chip is crisp. You can pick the whole thing up and eat it like a meat pie. It's awesome.
Wow.
That was good. And of course, cheese, you have to have cheese dip. I said, we have to. And when it hardens, we can use it for a brick somewhere. And I told them, we were standing there, I said, you know, when this dried, that's what they patched the Alamo with back in the old days. And anyway, but it was good in chips and dips, and we got chili in case people wanted chili, so nobody went away hungry. We were blessed to be able to do it.
Well, what did Mike and Emily bring? Because I'm sure they brought something.
She brought this hot, spicy buffalo wings dip, it's called, and it was great. And then there was another thing. What was it? A cream cheese kind of thing. They brought a couple of spicy dips that were really wonderful. But there was so many spicy dips, it's hard to nail down exactly what it was. But yeah, I think they had some stuff from that brunch that they had done, and they brought that. And they just were able to sit back and not have to do anything, clean up, do anything. So I think they enjoyed that a lot.
Well, Mike and Emily did a great job. They described some good ideas for a romantic dinner for your Valentine.
Mm.
And I seem to recall a really cute story about one of your earliest Valentine Day's dinners with your wife, Bev, and a tuxedo, as I recall.
Yeah, she went out. She was going to get, we're going to have stone crab, because that's like one of the first things we ever had on a date, with stone crab. And when she was gone, I went upstairs. And when she got back, I'd gone up and I put on my tuxedo, cleaned up, and put on the tux that I wore for our wedding.
Ah.
And it still fit. And I said, see, it still fits. And she was just, thought that was, she came in and I was sitting at the table and I poured her a glass of champagne. She says, you know what? You play well with others. You know? But it's the simple things like that really, you know, that you'll never forget.
Well, so do you have any plans for this year yet?
All I know is my tuxedo still fits. And I'm not going to give anything away. You never know.
Well, I'm not going to tell.
Actually, what we're doing is Emily and Mike are putting on a dinner, and we are going to that.
Ah.
A Valentine's dinner, and they do kind of this pop-up culinary thing, right, where you go and you pay, and they serve you this five-course meal. So that's what we're doing this year.
Cool.
And if I would show up wearing a tuxedo, these guys are going to go, what are you doing? Come on, man.
Well, if you haven't started planning already, you need to hurry, bud. It's only 5 days away.
Keep it simple. Do something she wouldn't expect. Something nice, sweet, doesn't have to be expensive. Just has to come from the heart. It'll make an impact, guaranteed.
Always a joy to visit with you, my friend. Happy Valentine's Day to you and Ben.
And to you and your family. You know I love you, brother.
We hope you've enjoyed this edition of the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show. Send us your burning questions and favorite recipes in a private message on our Facebook page, The Outdoor Cooking Show, or visit our website, theoutdoorcookingshow.com. Join us next week for more tasty food and fun over a red-hot grill on the Boyd Seafood Outdoor Cooking Show.
How's about cooking something else?